when the lights come crashing down on the darkness. If you hold my hand, I'll pull you through this fight. When your eyes get tired, listen to my heart. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
Episode 87 of Drunk on Comics. Fuck that rat bastard for seeing its shadow. God damn it, man. More winter? Fuck!
Dude, it's a groundhog.
Here's
what I don't get. I think whenever that groundhog sees a shadow, that there should be a whole lot more, like, groundhog fur coats made. And I think that little son of a bitch would stop seeing his shadow so much if he saw all of his, like, friends and family getting slaughtered and made into pretty little things for the missus.
Yeah, Punxsutawney Phil, bite my ass.
Yeah, it's Groundhog Day.
Yeah. And if you want a weather prediction, you're asking the wrong Phil. I'm going to give you a prediction about this winter. It's going to be cold, it's going to be gray, and it's going to last the rest of your lives.
Is your name Phil?
Yes, it is. Phil Connors.
What?
Groundhog's Day.
Oh, okay.
Best movie ever.
Was that Bill Murray's character in that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was Phil's name.
That was one of those movies where I left the movie theater angry.
Why?
I hated that movie when I first saw it.
Get out of my house.
No, yeah. I hated that movie. Just like when I saw Star Trek. Or not, Stargate. I saw Stargate when I saw that.
What?
I left. That was the only movie.
You're pissing on my childhood here.
Dude, that's the only movie I've ever walked out of.
The first person to piss on your childhood.
But I will say, I did watch them later. I'm like, okay, they weren't as bad as I thought they were.
Yeah.
I'm still not rushing to the video movie store and renting them or whatever the kids do these days.
Yeah, so good luck finding those. Anyway, welcome to Drunk on Comics, everybody. This is our weekly podcast where we're going to talk about comic books and maybe collecting and maybe conventions. And
maybe weather.
Small marsupials. I don't know.
That you can wear.
Yeah. No, they're not marsupials.
Fashion statements.
Rodents. Yeah, they're vermin.
Yeah, not even the tasty kind either.
Yeah, I don't know. A little barbecue sauce, maybe, you know. You'd be surprised what barbecue sauce will cover up. But anyway, we might also have some nerdly nuggets of fun, like how to cook groundhog.
Okay, news to me, but
yeah,
dude.
Well, we
have to have some sort of Super Bowl conversation at some point.
It's the Superhero Bowl.
Yeah, though, of course, none of our listeners probably give a shit about it, except the commercials.
No, I think there's actually a fair number of our listeners that I know actually are super excited about Super Bowl.
Like me.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, liar, you don't listen to our show. All right, guys, I'm going to get things kicked off here this week with Off the Shelf for us. Off the Shelf is brought to you once again by Fanfare Sports and Entertainment in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And if you want to check them out online, they've got tons and tons of really cool original artwork for sale. You can find them at fanfare-se.com. If you're anywhere in our universe, because I think I've gotten to that point now. We were Milky Way last week. So if you're anywhere, you know, this side of Alpha Centauri, at least in the universe, then you should definitely, you know, make the trip through hyperspeed and go see him.
I want to kind of question your spacely knowledge. Are we east or west of that?
Actually, we're a little southeast. So, you know.
A little down.
Yeah.
X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. Yeah, no, well, I mean, it's only slightly south because, I mean, like, for the most part, it's pretty fucking flat. You know, it's kind of like driving through, like you know, southern Ohio. It's like, okay, there's nothing here, you know. Anyway, this week.
I'm just imagining the random tourist traps on the way there. Come here and see the biggest black hole ever.
Yeah, the mystery spot. Yeah. Giant ball of cosmic trash, you know. All right, guys. I've got Saga Chapter 18, which came out this week.
Wait. Chapter? It's not an issue?
It's issue 18, but they've called them Chapter.
Oh.
It's the beginning. And it's written by Brian K. Vaughan, art by Fiona Staples, who she does everything from you know, pencils, inks, colors, and letters, though, done by Phonographics. So I'm bringing this up for a couple reasons. One, because I'm throwing a challenge out to you, you chuckleheads. It's now the end of the third arc on this book.
Wait, wait. I thought it was a chapter and then issue. Now it's an arc? You're confusing the shit out of me.
Well, it's because you're easy to confuse. no, the first story arc being the first six chapters, second story arc being the next six, this being the next six. And with this means that there's going to be a little hiatus.
When the math checks out.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Did you use all your fingers and toes?
No. Mental math, yes.
Yeah. What this means is with this issue coming out is that there's now going to be about a 3-month break. Because of the way that they do this, they go about six issues, they take a little break for a while, allow themselves to get caught up, and then they release more.
Woo, spring break!
Yeah. And most books, I'd be like, this is bullshit. Why do I have to wait? With Saga, I don't care. I would literally wait a year if I had to, as long as I knew it was still coming. Now, my challenge is, for you guys, who still haven't read Saga, and I can't figure out why, you have 3 months to get caught up. So, are you guys going to read this fucking book or not?
I'll explain later in the show.
Okay.
I will also show.
I'm going to give you a mid-show teaser.
Oh, okay.
That was it.
Yeah.
Well, it's later. Challenge accepted.
Good.
I will, hopefully.
Yeah, because I've actually hooked up non-comic book people that have never read comics before with Volume 1 and 2 of Saga, and they've read it, and they absolutely love it. So
I just want to know more about this truth dog on the front cover there.
Lion Cat?
Well, I just one question, then I'll let you finally get to talk about the book, but... You ever give a comic to somebody and they ask you, how do I read it? That happened to me recently.
I think, I don't, did we talk about this on the show? Or I know you and I talked about it.
Fuck, dude. I barely remember what happened last night, let alone.
Yeah.
Do you ever give a book to someone and they don't give it back? That sucks, too.
What, do I have one of your books?
I think Kevin does, actually.
You're looking at me like I don't think I have any of your books.
What?
My Le Fleas.
Le Fleas 1?
Yeah.
No, I gave it back to you.
Did you? Well, it's not in my collection. I just spent 5 hours this week fixing my comic book room.
Bet you it's at your brother's.
Fuck, it could be.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. You guys share your comics. All right.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I want to keep interrupting.
I've heard Saga.
Yeah. So
it's still sagging, right?
It is. It's saga-ing on quite nicely. I'm not going to give a ton away on this book, which, by the way, you should figure out on your own, but if you didn't...
Thanks, because you're challenging me to read it later.
Yeah. Listeners, if you're not aware, we're going to review books and we might give shit away. So that's your warning. This one, though, I mean, like this last arc, a lot of people have been getting killed, maimed, on the verge of death that you wouldn't expect. And the one thing with this book is that when people are dead, they're dead, you know. Now, you have to be a little cautious because if they don't actually clearly show they're dead, they might not be. You know, you may assume that they're going to die out, but they aren't dead, so don't count on it. I don't even know where to start on this book. I mean, and I guess I'm going to start with the art on it because the story is so...
Start at the beginning.
Beautiful. But what Fiona Staples does in here, this woman... has an ability when it comes to actually drawing comic books that nobody else can touch. I mean, I think she's probably the best artist in the industry right now. I mean, everything from panel layout to the actual just, you know, expressions on the faces of the characters that are in there, her color palette choices, just the angle of the shot. This book is just fucking perfection. Add in Brian K. Vaughan's, you know, great storytelling that the two of them work so closely on. You, you can't go wrong with this. And that's why I kind of threw that challenge out there. I mean, to you guys, because anybody that's at home that's listening that hasn't read this book, there's no excuse. I mean, this book is the best-selling book in the industry right now for a reason. It's the reason that it got best series, even on our Drunkie Awards. It's the reason that, you know, that Brian K. Vaughan and Fiona Staples got the Drunkie Awards. I mean, it's when you guys go through this and look, you'll see. It definitely hooks you in. The fun part with this one, with this issue in particular, is that there are a couple things for the regular characters that are in here that there's a couple little surprises, which some are a little bit smaller surprises. Some of them are much larger. And I don't know if you guys are super familiar with this book or not, but the narrator of the book is actually a baby.
Okay.
So you know how, like, when they typically have, like, that inner monologue? It's actually the baby later in life telling the story.
Oh, okay. So it's his saga.
Her.
Okay. Oh, that was way off.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could be a creature.
Well, it kind of is. I mean, it's, you know, it's from two differing races, you know, in here. But it's very interesting because when you read this, you know, it's the child, Hazel, thinking back and kind of telling the story of her parents. And the scary part is because when you read this, you mostly identify with the mother and father that, you know, had this baby, because they are the primary characters in here. But it's a little terrifying because either one of them or both of them could get killed, like, just right now. Boom.
Is King TV Head still in it?
Prince Robot? Yep. Prince Robot the Fourth? Yeah, he's in it. And he got fried. Like, his little computer brain got a little fucked up, and he's in the process of rebooting. And he actually helps out unwittingly here, but it's nice because there is a little bit of porn on this TV face in this one. But anyway, just, you know, you guys really should go check out this book. I know that you, Tony, have agreed now that by the time issue 18 comes out, you're going to be caught, or issue 19, you're going to be caught up.
Yes.
Yeah. So. Probably.
Now, you just fucking totally gave a high five to Fiona Staples. But is this pretty much her first? Is this her first time in the big time, or is she been doing some other stuff?
You know, I'll be honest. I was not familiar with her before this.
Okay.
So without doing some quick research, I can't honestly say what else she's done.
That's cool, man. I was just yeah. Because I mean, yeah, I got the internet right here on my lap, and I could look it up, but.
But you choose not to.
Yeah, fuck that. I'm too busy.
Yeah, no.
Enjoying my delicious Tilt.
Yeah, brought to you by Tilt. Oh, God. I can't believe we're still drinking this.
I can't believe I still have some.
Yeah. No, there's... I just looked. She did DV8, Gods and Monsters. She did two issues of Superman, Batman. She did a couple issues of Thunder Agents.
Okay, so she's okay. She's got some experience.
Yeah, but this is like, but I tell you what, I mean, this book is a masterpiece. I mean, that, like, this is what everybody should be reading, and it doesn't matter if you like space opera, sci-fi shit or not. There's literally something in here for every single person out there. It's stunning to look at. It flows so beautifully on the written word. I mean, this is. Every single issue of this could be my pick of the week, but I try to choose different things so I'm not talking about it all the time. Plus, I don't want to spoil it for people. So, there you go. There's my nerd, my nerdly, you know, boner for the week on Saga, because it's awesome.
You're gonna have that boner for 3 months until it comes back,
dude. You gotta seek medical attention.
If you have a nerd boner that hangs around for more than 4 hours, read Saga. It'll make you jizz.
Okay, Dr. Phil.
That was my only sex advice from my dad, or my sex talk.
What was your sex talk?
Well, you see, when a man blows his load, he can't get it back up for like another 20 minutes. That was my only sex talk from my dad.
Oh.
That was awesome.
Well,
Tony's got to follow up a good review.
I'm uncomfortable now, and Tony also has to follow up that talking with your dad about jizzing.
Yeah, I don't know how I can.
Well, that's what happens. I mean, that happens in the shower a bunch with us.
Oh yeah, just a couple knuckle children running down the drain.
I was always partial to drain babies.
Yeah.
Oh, the humanity, or inhumanity, as we would say.
Wah, wah, wah. Yeah.
So we're finally getting to do some more of the Inhuman shit that's going on in the Marvel Universe. Inhumanity number 2, which, to flat out say, this is a story about Medusa, the queen of the Inhumans, who, now that Black Bolt is dead, even though he's not...
Is he just comic book dead?
No, he's not even dead. He disappeared, but everyone thinks he exploded when Attilan destroyed over New York.
Okay.
He secretly left with Maximus and his son. Can't remember where the son went to, but she's pretty much mourning the loss of her husband and the kids. A lot of the children of these Inhumans are missing. While the whole world is going through Terrigenesis, becoming cocoons, developing mutant-type powers, and they're finally saying, you need to start doing stuff. Stop just sitting around, moping around. We need to stop. There's people that are kind of inhuman trafficking, taking cocoons, mainly AIM, you know, in their bee suits, and capturing them to make them weapons. There's some place that looked kind of like a German area that we're going to take them as super soldiers and raise them as their army. And this all this shit. And then, of course, the Avengers are trying to help and locate who all these new Inhumans are going to be, because it's getting into the hundreds of thousands, they're saying, which I'm liking this whole story arc and what this can turn out to be, because it's going to change the Marvel Universe to its core. Only because whenever they have shit with the mutants, it's always straight up, you know, interspecies, I don't know, not really racism, but, you know, there's always those humans that hate mutants, this and that. This is turning half of the world into a mutant-type thing. And are they going to have that same repercussions as the mutants do with the Sentinels coming after them, with the Strike Force? Are they going to just say, no, oh, these are my brethren, mutants still suck? You know what I'm saying? No, you don't know what I'm saying?
Well, mm-hmm. I know who the Inhumans are. Thank you, Marvel's Essentials. That's the only reason why I know what you're talking about. But what's the difference between an Inhuman and a mutant?
Really, there wasn't any. Well, the Inhumans were made by the Kree, and the X gene, I guess,
really?
You would say.
Okay,
because the Kree came back a long time ago, before mutants became Homo sapiens. Or not mutants, humans became Homo sapiens, kind of experimented with them. They've been kind of their own species separate from the branch of Homo sapiens that are us. And then from Homo sapiens, the X gene was created. Now, that's what they're saying, is this could somehow potentially go back into the day of, is this where mutants came from? I'm not sure if they're going to totally explore that or not.
The other thing is, the main difference, in my opinion, is that mutants have better teams than Inhumans. Like X-Force and
Gold
X-Men
and Blue.
And, you know, they have schools. I don't see the Inhumans doing any fucking schools. Yeah.
Well, I like, so this whole human thing, or inhumanity, has been going across a bunch of different books. Superior Spider-Man, we talked about the Iron Man last week. And this kind of ties it all in. Matt Fraction, who wrote this one, really did a great job with going through the mindset, as I said, of Queen Medusa having to run her kingdom while all this other shit's happening. Also just going to point out, the art was pretty fucking fantastic. That's done by Nick Bradshaw with the help of Todd Nowak.
Was Bradshaw doing Wolverine and the X-Men a while back? Am I remembering
that
correctly?
I think it was something on X-Men, yeah.
Yeah, because if I'm remembering that correctly, I really did enjoy it. I haven't seen this book yet. But if I remember correctly, I enjoyed his work on that book. So I think I could definitely see how this would work and, you know, be right in his wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that this kind of introduces an antagonist to the Inhumans now, who I think he's called the Other, or the Exiled, who is an Inhuman from a long time ago who was, bing, 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 exiled.
Wow.
You got it.
That's
win a gold star.
That's genius. Great, I win a tilt.
And he's going... it's a no prize. Anyways, he's going through and actually trying to get some of these cocoons, too, to have his own, I guess, people on his side, because once you become Inhuman, I guess you automatically show fealty to whoever your queen or king is. So, overall, you get to the point where she's getting tough. She's going to start, you know, lifting the world on her shoulders, but she's still...
She's Atlas?
Yeah. That's what the cover's about. She's lifting a cocoon above her.
Yeah, I haven't even seen the cover. I could just see it, like, sitting over across the table there. I'm like, okay.
I just can't wait till frickin' the Inhumans book comes out and we can start exploring what the fuck's going on with this.
Yeah.
Before we get to the next big event.
Well, now, I know that Fraction was going to be writing Inhumans, and now it's Charles Soule coming on. Has he done anything else on any of the other tie-ins to this that you know of? I haven't really paid much attention to this event. If it's an event, I don't know.
It kind of is, but it's a loose event.
Well, didn't you see there's like a bunch of crossovers?
Yeah, there's one-shots in different books that are tying into this, but they're standalone. Like, the X-Men, I believe, had one where it was just talking about, you know, some people that they thought were mutants but weren't. Superior Spider-Man had him, which was a really, really good one, rescuing a person that got some tech from the Inhuman city that just got destroyed. So that involved it a bit. As Matt was talking about last week, one of the Mandarin rings took over a new Inhuman that just became Inhuman. So they're all kind of talking about the same stuff, but still following their own storylines.
Cool. Is this a jumping on point?
Actually, it could be. I mean, I think Inhumanity number one, which came out like a month or two ago, was very, very good in telling. Spoiler warning, Karnak, who was one of the coolest Inhumans, died because he saw what was going to happen.
Rumors!
It's not a rumor if it's true.
It's but it's comic book.
Oh, yeah, true, yeah. Comic book dead.
Yeah.
I think that one was a better one, but this is definitely jumping on point two because it's an enclosed story. You kind of are getting what's going on in this whole arc, this chapter, if you will, but you also can read it and pick up and read some of that other shit too. So,
cool.
That's it for me, Kevin.
Oh, wait. I got to interrupt for one moment just because to quickly correct... my dumb searching on the interwebs about Fiona Staples' art, the stuff that I listed off, that was cover work that she did.
Okay.
But she did, like, she's done, you know, probably 10-ish other projects as far as interior art. Jonah Hex being one of the issues, Mystery Society, you know, I mean, like, North 40. She's done a bunch of different stuff on there, but like I said.
Wow. See, that's a first for the show. Usually we don't have any on-air corrections here. Usually we're just full of shit and we just roll with it. Yeah.
Well, an artist like Fiona, I definitely need to give credit where credit's due on that one. So
cool, man.
Well, Kevin, what'd you pick up this week?
Nothing.
What?
Okay, are you going to read Saga?
No, actually, I was on the road this week. And because I have a real job, though I really love this job, but I got a job that pays the bills and whatnot. So, so when I travel, I bring a big stack of books with me, and I'll get more on that in a moment. But for those relatively new to the show, I'm what. And I'll pen myself as such as a period comic enthusiast. So I'll define
that.
You're
raging all the time?
I'm so angry! And illogical! So I'll define what that is a period of time. And,
once a month.
that it's just a period of time in my life where I collected only to drop out because of various life decisions. Now, some of those were dumb, mostly stupid decisions. But so as a result of being this comic enthusiast, I'm really not hip to what's going on with newer. So because and actually that's how you presented it to me, Derek. Coming on to the show is, hey Derek, I don't read new comics. He's like, don't worry about it. You know a bunch of the old shit and
yeah, which is true.
So but I'm slowly filling in the gaps here and there. So but I rely on you guys heavily to help me fill in the gaps. So I have all these old comic books, and so we came up with a segment called Kevin's Long Box.
It's huge.
God, it's fucking massive. Really is. And actually,
he's actually got two.
And just the other day, my fiance was complaining about the size of my long box.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, honey. I mean, what do you want me to do with it?
She can, you know, just take a section at a time. She doesn't have to, like, you know, read the whole box at once.
Oh, God. She took the whole box. That'd be amazing. So, I probably didn't translate well. So here we are today, and what I'm going to give you a half-assed opinion on is called World War Hulk.
What's a Hulk?
It's like a bulk, but with an H.
Oh.
which is probably one of the latest items that's in my long box before I got coerced into doing this show.
Yeah.
Because most of my shit's from the 90s, the 80s.
You got some 70s in there.
The 40s. Not too much, but now I remember picking up issue one when this actually came out in 2007. I think this was one of my like rare trips to the comic book store. I was dragged with a friend, and I'm like, "Oh, this looks good," and I picked it up. And I really don't remember. I don't remember reading it, or I might have just thrown it into the pile. I don't know. But about a few months ago, I was digging through my inventory. I was updating it because I'm buying more new books, and I saw World War Hulk number one there. I'm like, "The fuck?" So I'm like, I'll pick up the rest. Because actually, just a few months ago, I read Planet Hulk. I picked that up in a trade paperback.
Okay.
So anyway, okay. So first off, I would like to give credit on this World War Hulk series by giving a shout out to the writer, Greg Pak. Pencils by John Romita Jr. Inks by Klaus Janson.
Klaus Janson, yeah.
It is Janson?
Yeah. Love that guy.
Really?
Yeah. He's an old Daredevil artist.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard that name a few times in this podcast.
He did work on the Daredevil End of Days, which is where you
and I was talking about Daredevil.
Oh, Daredevil, yeah.
Though you may have mentioned Klaus a few times. Colors by Christina Aguilar. Strain. And too many really to mention. There was a lot of different cover artists. And the cover art on all these were just top notch. I particularly liked number three. Where I proceeded to actually show a friend the other week, and he looked at it and he goes, "Wow, that's pretty cool. Too bad the Hulk doesn't look like the Hulk anymore."
No,
his comments were based upon his only Hulk experience is Lou Ferrigno.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, well, first of all, that was a live action show,
yeah,
not a comic book, and.
Well, and I guess I could say he doesn't really look like the Hulk. He looks like Conan the Barbarian and the Hulk.
But that's tied into where he was and whatnot. Yeah. So if you're not familiar with World War Hulk, maybe you're familiar with Planet Hulk. And if you're not familiar with that one, well, then you're fucked, and this review is going to make no sense, and you're going to be like, what the fuck? Well,
that's those two story arcs, I mean, tie in so greatly. Like, I picked up the World War Hulk, and then I'm like, fuck, I need to read Planet Hulk in order to understand this more.
Yeah.
It's perfectly fit together.
Oh, yeah, totally. So I'm going to try to help you out. Here's a little quick synopsis for you guys. Doctor Strange, Iron Man, Captain America, Mr. Fantastic. They get together and say, hey, Hulk smashes a lot, and that's annoying. Maybe we should give him the punt. So they did. They somehow get him into a spaceship, throw him into space. He does some R&R at some planet, and now he's back on Earth, and he's pissed.
Sort of. What they tried to do was send him to a peaceful planet, but he ended up landing on Planet Hulk.
Yeah, and he got some R&R and came back.
Well, yeah, but it's a little bit... Yes and no, but to the readers who haven't listened, it was a fucking battle world type planet. So he really didn't get that relaxation, peace of mind that...
He got some R&R and came back.
Yeah, but that's what the Hulk likes to do.
Dude, I read Battle on Planet Hulk. That was good.
Yeah. I was just going to say, he didn't just all of a sudden, I'm relaxing, I'm just going to go back and kick the shit out of some people. No. He was pissed because also his ship had a bomb on it, which blew up the planet, which blew up his wife, which blew up all of his friends and family and shit like that. He had a kid on the way. There's a lot of what made Hulk be a rager.
Yeah, and that's the reason why when he came back to...
Hulk was a rager?
And that's why, like, when he came back to Earth, he's pissed. So, there's not much spoiler warning here, or not many spoilers in this. Yeah, I want to try to keep it relatively free, especially if you were interested in picking it up. But, now, my only question mark about this whole series, I'll get this out of the way, is who the fuck is Sentry?
What?
Yeah, this is... So I read these in all in one shot recently, and that's my only question mark about this whole thing is I'm not familiar with Sentry. Apparently he has a power of a million...
A million exploding suns?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sentry is badass. He's like Superman-ish of the Marvel Universe, kind of. Yeah. And he's one of the few people besides Rick Jones that could get through to Hulk.
Yeah, and... Yeah, this is the whole thing pins around him, and again, the thing that it really the only thing that annoyed me about this book is from the very first issue, it was painfully obvious, it was almost spelled out to us that this is the guy, the only guy, that could go head to head with the Hulk and win. Not only for power, but as you just said. There's some sort of connection between the two that wasn't really explained very well here. I mean, it's kind of relying on the reader to know what the past history was a little bit. But again, this is about the only unfortunate thing about this story. knowing all I know about the Hulk, this was just a five-issue series, and... Again, this is going to culminate with those two coming to the end. But, man, what a fucking great ride this book was. I'm not a big reader.
Words.
fucking words. Damn it. I'm word challenged. I have trouble assembling words, stringing them into a sentence, let alone a paragraph, and then to read them?
Yeah, fuck that.
So... I don't read much outside of comic books. Reading the comic books themselves for me is just a daunting task sometimes. I don't know if I have some sort of attention span disorder or what, but...
Kevin, I'm going to ride my bike.
Oh, okay.
All right. See you guys.
Hold on, I just got to take off my roller skates first. But this miniseries was a real winner because there wasn't much dialogue.
Well, you know,
and I'm not. So what I'm getting at is
Hulk smash. I mean, he doesn't have much.
No, and I'm not. But I say that not to say, hey, if it's too much dialogue, count me out. I mean, how many times have I've reviewed stuff off the shelf that was dialogue heavy, mm-hmm. and I've given props to, but. This is just a nice, fun action fucking read.
Well,
you were saying, Derek.
Well, I was just going to say that's a really nice creative team. And I never even glanced at it back when that came out because it's Hulk and I really don't read much Hulk. But you know, between your artist and your writer teamed up on that, shit, that's. That's got to be
it's a home run team.
Yeah, my opinion.
Wow. Okay. That's really cool.
One of the other things that you didn't mention, which this story arc gave way, is Hulk, as everyone knows, gets stronger when he gets sure. more pissed off. Mm-hmm. This is the strongest Hulk has ever been, or at least the devious alter ego, because he's had a couple different changes into the Hulk, such as Mr. Fix-It. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Kind of the gray Hulk.
The smart Hulk.
Yeah, well, yeah, smart, but just not super whatever.
Gray Hulk is something I'm vaguely familiar with, but...
Yeah. And then there's, like, just the mindless Rage Hulk, and then there's been Hulk where he's had the brain of Bruce Banner. This was Worldbreaker Hulk. This was him at the most powerful, but cunning as well, which is why this was such a great book, why people are afraid that if he transforms into this again... Who could stop him now? Like, at least when he's mindless Rage Hulk, there's ways to outsmart him then. Or if he was smart Bruce Banner, he could at least change from this. Mm-hmm. It's a whole different type of Hulk.
Oh, yeah. It's very apparent, like, how intelligent he was in this series. And that's another thing that made the series really good. But again, I gotta go back to the action, man. Non-stop fucking action. And it was like a fucking glory hole of goodness. Now, despite what I say about... this is a very short read, but despite it being a very short read, it is actually a long read for me because there's so many action panels in this book. Half page, full page, so many
double page splash,
that you want to take page. You want to take your time and just take it all in because the detail.
Well, with glory holes, you typically do need to take it all in. I mean,
yeah, it just.
Sorry, Kevin.
I'm so trying so hard not to snort right now, but. But another thing, in addition to all the panels that I had a lot of fun doing, was trying to stop and try to pronounce some of the action words that are going on in the book, like this one. This is from issue 5. how do you pronounce that?
I don't know, but like I think you were a cross between Bobcat Goldthwait and
Tasmanian Devil.
Tasmanian Devil, yeah, there.
Derek pronounced it perfectly.
Yeah,
but that is creative because I would just use the same ones over and over again.
Or it's just smashing the keyboards.
Boom.
Thoom.
Kaboom!
Yeah,
kabaloo. That's creative, and I had fun just with those action words. This is ridiculous. It is. It has nothing to do with the story at all. It's a sound effect, but I had fun with that.
So Kevin, just a quick roundup here on it. Would you say that worth picking up single issues or trade, or doesn't it matter?
No, it definitely. I mean, probably just pick up the trade. But I myself, I mean, I already had the first issue. I figure this would actually a pretty difficult series to collect. I had short of like going to the comic book store and having them do all the work for me. I just was thumbing through the boxes, and it took me quite a few stores to find all of these. So, but save yourself a lot of hassle. Go get the trade paperback
And fill your long box.
Yeah, for sure. So
cool. All right, time for some news and notes.
Okay.
Anyone?
I was going to see how long.
Anyone?
Yeah, the silence. And I heard there was news.
There was. Actually, I think probably the biggest news this week was that DC editor Mike Martz is not going to be taking the cross-continent move over to Hollywood from New York with the rest of his DC brethren. He's going to be staying in New York, and he's going back to Marvel to be an editor over there, which Mike, from what I understand, is pretty much the editor on most, if not all, of the Bat books out there. So that could be a very...
Here first, Batman's coming to Marvel.
Rumors! It's rumors! Rumors! Yeah, no, this is one of those interesting things because, I mean, the Bat books are really, in my opinion, they are the cornerstone of DC.
Oh, hands down.
Superman's huge and all, but,
no,
Batman outsells everything.
Maybe he's going to be a spy for DC.
Well, he's worked at Marvel before, so maybe he's a triple agent?
Could be. Is that why Daredevil's going to L.A., to be a spy for Marvel?
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to go investigate on all the shit that's going on out there. Well, Punisher's going out there. Well, Daredevil's going to San Diego, and Punisher's going to L.A. So Punisher's going to go out there, apparently, and wreak havoc on the new offices, you know.
Hey, they're close by. Just a quick drive up the 5, and...
You're talking, like, all gibberish to me. So, anyway, that's definitely
no, something... That was my review on World War Hulk. That was all gibberish.
yeah, that's... But yeah, so that keep your eye on that. It might be interesting to see what he's working on. I mean, we don't really talk much on editors here, but they do play a huge role in the books themselves.
Really? So I wonder how that all went down, because really, in the age of the internet and Skype and Snapchat and Vine and all that other shit,
and MySpace,
yeah. Like why can't he? If most of your team is going to LA, if you're good at what you're doing, why can't you use all those tools?
I don't really know either, but it's a valid question because, I mean, most of your writers...
Or is it just money walks?
Yeah.
Bullshit talks? Or is it the other way around?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
I mean, bullshit can talk, I mean, because sometimes, like, you know, it makes noise. Yeah.
Listeners, keep an eye out for our new app that we're going to have coming out at some point. You heard it here first.
Speaking of gibberish, yeah. Yeah,
what would we call the app? We just can't call it the Drunk on Comics app.
We'll come up with something stupid.
Dak.
Speaking of apps, though, Tony, Marvel, and I hope you guys understand this better than I do, because I'm kind of technologically stupid, but Marvel opens up its images.
Technologically about it.
I'm just stupid.
Yes, Marvel is pretty much going to app developers saying, we're going to give you our library of comics. Everything that's been, things that are upcoming, you're going to have the... Pretty much them saying, here you go, make a great app.
75 years of history, 30,000 comics, 7,000 series, 5,000 creators. You got all the shit.
Yeah, and so that's why we're saying, we don't know if it's just open to anyone that makes apps or not, but we're damn going to try to get some freebies here, so we'd like to see what information we can pull.
Yeah, like, I mean, because, dude, we should make a watcher app.
It just watches you.
All it does, like, you just open it up and it's like, I see you.
I'm not interfering.
You should do that. But I'm not interfering. You need to go do this. I'm not interfering.
Make it a magic eight ball. Uatu, what do I do?
Yeah, I want to watch a rap now, actually, because then I can just delete it. What else do we have in news this week, Tony?
Well, there is a shitload of variant covers for Empire magazine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Derek's going to collect them all.
What the fuck is Empire magazine?
I've never heard of it.
Is this an overseas thing?
Still the world's biggest movie magazine.
Well.
So it says on the cover.
Okay. Was it their 25th issue or their 25th year?
I'm guessing it's
their 25th year.
25th year.
Yeah. So it's been around for a while, but I've never heard of this thing before. And
I actually have, but that's because I read.
No, you don't.
So I want to know. Okay. So listeners, really, you need to look these covers up because they're really cool. But I want to know. I was looking at this during pre-production, and it almost looks like you could butt these issues one right next to each other, and it looks like you're gonna have like one huge panoramic.
Because that's
some,
true.
Some yes, but
no. All of them you can. I saw a stitched together thing online.
Oh, really?
That has them all next to each other.
So explain the Blink and the Bishop cover then.
They're just because that's a portal that she created. And so in her portal behind her, she created a portal to his page.
So is it a panoramic 360 then? Because it's not going to be a left or right just looking at a landscape.
Why not?
Because you've got... Okay.
Do you know how portals work, Derek? I mean, come on. Do I have to school you on everything? I can create a portal right here. Wait, and just, where I, it's dude, you, teleporting I'm, to.
I just got done telling us that he's not very good on technology.
Yeah. Well, no, because... I'm just talking on the how you piece it together because of the way that Blink, which, by the way, Blink looks fantastic on these covers. And, yeah.
The background goes from nowadays or past to future. So what you'll get when you get start towards some of the other pages that would be towards the right-hand side is more destroyed world because it's going from past to future. So you can line up the pages like the White House will be in half of one page, and then you put that one right up next to the other. It's not a true depiction of any sort of anywhere, but they all line up. What?
This isn't historically accurate?
Sadly, no.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, moving on. If you guys want to check that out, comicsalliance.com had all 25 of those covers. That was the place that I found that had all of them there. I'm getting super excited about this movie, I got to say.
Except for Storm. God.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, at least
I'm excited for Cyberpunk Quicksilver.
Oh, yeah, he's got lots of pouches.
Yeah, he's got a lot of... he's got like a utility belt on.
Yeah. Sweet. Other places that you might see Cyberpunk Quicksilver in his pouches is Marvel Universe Live!
I doubt you'll see them on Marvel Universe Live, but...
I don't know, maybe.
I want to go to Marvel Universe Live.
It's not going to be cheap.
I will pay any sort of money.
Any sort... Fuck, let's just get a suite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. Tony's buying.
Fuck.
Dude, that'd be awesome, man. Get a suite and then just hang Drunk on Comics.
Banner across
right,
the front.
Right there.
But... kidding you not, we get to see real mutants, like the real Tony Stark, you know, Iron Man suit. I mean, it's live. It's Marvel Universe. It's got to be real.
If you guys go to MarvelUniverseLive.com, you can actually see where this circus act is traveling to and performing at and all that. And it sounds pretty awesome. Ticket ranges are going to be starting maybe around $50. And the article in the USA Today said 45 to 150, but I went on and looked for our local, our closest local, 3 hours away, place where it's going to be. Prices started at 55 and went up to 180. And I'm like,
what's the problem with that?
Well, I guess my only complaint on this thing, and I understand it's got to be like huge production value, but who's this for?
Yeah, who is the target audience on this? Because you can remember in the 90s, like various shows that were were released tied to movies like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Live.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's what I imagine this has, is something that's going to appeal to the to a young audience. But yet,
yeah,
people who are, you know...
Hey, yeah, no big deal. Dad's going to take the two kids out, because obviously he can't afford to take mom as well. He's going to take the two kids down, going to have to get some souvenirs, going to have to pay for parking, got to get some dinner. Guess what? You spent a grand, asshole. Like, what family can afford that? But anyway, that's me bitching. What else did you have, Tony?
What about me? Wait, I don't got anything?
I don't know.
I got some news.
Well, yeah, you actually, we have tablets up in front of us. You have a, and by tablets, I'm talking, you know, that. And then
like a notepad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You actually have a tablet with paper on it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, fuck this tablet.
Yeah. What do you got, Kevin?
Oh, man. Awesome movie news. I think it's actually pretty awesome. Your boy, Jesse Eisenberg.
Why is he my boy?
I don't know, man.
Because he just threw that in there. Just roll with it.
Your boy, man.
All right.
He's my boy. He made the Facebook, so.
Yeah. Keep on rolling. Fucking, well, you got to be a mastermind to come up with Facebook.
And, that's
what
true.
An appropriate casting call for him as Lex Luthor in that DC movie coming out.
Yeah, the Batman Wonder Woman.
Yeah, yeah.
Batman Aquaman Wonder, movie?
Yeah. Batman Aquaman movie.
Yeah.
Well, and we also have Jeremy Irons that is Alfred, which, just throw it out there, I can see him being Alfred. And at first, I was like, Jesse? I felt like he's a little too young, a little, but I think he can totally fit it.
You know, Lex Luthor, I don't think you need to have, it doesn't necessarily need to be a young or super young, super old, whatever.
It just need to be bald.
Well, no, man. Hair makes no difference either. And besides, this is his own thing. I mean,
hair makes a lot of difference.
When picking up chicks, I guess.
Well, no, I was talking about Lex, you know.
Oh. Dude, I loved him in the 90s, man. Fucking red hair, fucking flowing.
No.
Perm.
No, that's arcade. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting choice. And I mean, like, it. And honestly, people that may bitch about it, if they liked Michael Rosenbaum in Smallville, got no reason to bitch. I mean... Actually, Michael was probably my favorite Lex of all time. And honestly, my least favorite was Kevin Spacey, and he's one of my favorite actors.
Dude, no one liked Kevin Spacey in that movie.
Well, no one liked that movie. It was just...
That airplane scene was pretty cool.
There was an airplane. I fell asleep 3 times in the theater on it, so I don't know.
Surely you didn't.
Don't call me Shirley. Surely,
yeah. All right. Tony?
That's all I have.
That's all you got? Okay, there's more shit.
Dude, I got it. What about Tathing Chainum?
Oh, the Ting Ting? Yeah, the
Chatting Tatum?
Chafing Taint?
That's not even close.
Is it Channing?
Channing Tatum.
Tatum. There. I think we talked about a while back that he mentioned that he might want to play Gambit.
Dude, he's his down south boy, man.
Yeah.
I went to his place on, he has a place on Bourbon Street.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a little too nice for Bourbon Street, but
yeah, whatever.
But yeah, he I understand why he wanted to do that. He's a Southern boy. He likes that character. Who fucking doesn't love that character of Gambit? We're talking about. We already mentioned it, didn't we?
Yeah. So anyway, there's a producer that wants to do that wants to do a Gambit movie with Channing Tatum starring in it. So. Again, rumors, but we'll see what happens on that one. Couple books getting some small and big screen treatments. The book I, Zombie from DC Comics Vertigo is getting a series ordered up from on the CW, which that's actually kind of cool. And if you're not familiar with I, Zombie, basically it was this girl, Gwen, who... is a reanimated corpse, and she has to eat like one brain a month in order to like kind of
sustain.
Maintain.
Mm-hmm.
But when she eats it, she also gets the memories of the of the person whose brain she ate. So could be a very interesting TV show. I mean, I didn't read much of the book, but what I read was damn good. The other interesting one is that Sheltered, the book from Image Comics, is getting a movie screen treatment, at least, whether or not it's actually going to go up there. But pre-apocalyptic type story on that one, so we'll see.
Yeah, if you guys I didn't hear about the, I did not know about Sheltered.
Yeah, I didn't until today. I haven't read it before, but it was Ed Brisson and Johnny Christmas that that did that book, if I'm remembering correctly, on there. So we'll see, you know, what goes on. The little blurb that I heard as far as how it's officially described is a pre-apocalyptic tale of survival at any cost. Men and women of Safe Haven have been prepared for any and all end-of-the-world scenarios for years. However, their bunkers, weapons, and training can't save them from the one threat they could never expected, their own children.
Roars.
Yeah. last thing I had for the fanboys out there, Clerks 3 starts production April 7th. So,
expectations for Clerks 3, you guys?
Above average.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be like a huge, you know, Academy Award winning movie, but I'm excited to see it.
I'll definitely see it. I like the second one. I mean, I'll definitely check out the third one. But I didn't think it was bad. Like, I don't want to say bad that. But it wasn't as loved as the first one. But, of course, it's like fucking trying to make a third Godfather or something.
or like Star Wars Episode 3.
Shut up.
Total side note, did you see the meme with Obi-Wan, as in Sir Alec Guinness? He's like, Darth Vader, I haven't heard that name since I cut off his legs and arms and left him to die in a lava pit.
I do remember that.
All right, we got to wrap that up. We're running a little late here today. Tony, you got Booze in a Book?
Yes.
Or do you want to do Indie Turnpike first?
No, we can get Booze in a Book over with. What I have for you today is Uber number 9, and not just Uber number 9, but just Uber as a series. I know my brother's talked about it before. He actually made me start reading it, and it's pretty good.
He loves that shit.
Dude, and super-powered World War II kind of awesomeness. So what we're going to have paired with that is Endesheshire Doppelbach Dunkel.
What?
Can you say that again?
Endesheshire Doppelbach Dunkel?
Okay, well, the double block and the dunkel, I'm sure, but the Endesheshir?
A-N-D-E-C-H-S-E-R?
That doesn't help.
Yeah.
Well, let me see what you're looking at.
This beer right here. Because it is a 7.10% alcohol.
7.10?
Yeah. So it'd be 7.1.
Endesheshir. Oh, that's how I'll pronounce
Endesheshir. Okay. And because I think dunkel is one of the funniest words when looking up German beer. So... yeah, that's why it gets paired with Uber, because they're both fun.
Fair enough. All right. And a Cheshire.
Well, I was going to try to do the Wehenstedt Stefaner hyphen Westbier.
Or you could just say, like, Beck's. That's German.
St. Pauli's girl?
Yeah. Heineken Dark. Yeah. All right, guys, Indie Turnpike this week. I've got Code Red, issue 2 of 5 from Xenoscope. And this is written by Pat Shand. The story is actually by Joe Berusha, Pat Shand, and Ralph Tedesco. Artwork on this book was by Ricardo Osnaya, Vincenzo Riccardi, and Joel Ojeda. Colors
was that one person?
No, there's three people on artwork. And colors were Hedwin Jimenez Zaldivar. And then, actually, I picked up the cover by our buddy Talent Caldwell, which was kind of, I instantly gravitated towards that cover, and then I went, oh, wait, that's Tal. So, kind of nice to have that little thing happen where you're like,
we know that person.
Yeah.
We partied with them.
Yeah, you know, and so Code Red is basically, for those of you that are not familiar with Xenoscope, one of the things that they do a lot of are the fairy tales, you know, and kind of recreating those tales. This Code Red, the girl in here, Brittany Waters, her character is Little Red Riding Hood, more or less. And she's very acrobatic, very nimble, great fighter, but she also actually has a feral side where the wolf kind of part comes out on it. And there's, you know, the orcs, or, and maybe they're not orcs because I can never remember orcs and
goblins and
which ones are which, but orcs coming from this other world. This is a very action-packed issue. If you didn't pick up issue one, you might not understand why people are fighting in here, but it doesn't matter because it's just fun, just regardless. The different art styles, you can tell slightly going, you know, when you flip through, you're like, wait a minute, this might not be, but they're very, very close on there. One of the things that made me most happy on here is that the Robin Hood character, which you guys heard me talk about, she shows up in this. And so I was very happy to see her. Now, that's also one of Pat Shan's creations from the previous Robin Hood series. But you basically have these two girls that are more or less working for the government, you know, tracking down the highborns and the false bloods and doing all this. It's a fun series all the way around. Very, very good writing on here, you know, for something that I'm not fully immersed in the Xenoscope world. I definitely have my favorites that I read, and then when they catch me, they draw me in. This is one of them on there. So if you haven't read anything by Xenoscope, I think this is a good book to pick up because it's not so far out there that you'd have a hard time jumping in on here. But it gives you a really good taste of what Xenoscope does have to offer out here. Overall, though, I mean, just go grab it and try it. I think, you know, this book is one of those that could be easily overlooked because there are a lot of books like this out there as far as just on the surface, but this book stands above and beyond so many of the other books that are out there. I highly recommend it. So beautiful writing, you know, the artwork fit incredibly well with the story on here, and looking forward to seeing where it goes. So give it a shot, pick it up.
Alrighty then. I just keep thinking of Mountain Dew.
Code Red?
Yeah.
All right, guys. We got anything for last call?
It has to be mentioned. They totally got a panel wrong in Superior Spider-Man, but other than that, it was pretty damn good.
What panel was that, Tony?
Peter's talking gibberish and shit about not having died and stuff, but...
Yeah, like little stuff where it's like saying that he's like in the mind.
Yeah, I just said they fucked up, but we can forgive them. They'll fix it next issue.
You think it was a typo?
Yeah,
okay. Huge shout out. It honestly, if Code Red and or Saga had come out, I would have been talking about Serenity, Firefly Class 03K64, number one, I think, of eight. From Dark Horse. Anybody that loves the show, this is fantastic because this picks up right after the movie ends. So, I've got to give some credit here to Zach Whedon, who wrote this. Boy, does he have the voice of these characters down. I mean, you read it, you hear them saying it. So, beautiful job on that.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Well, I mean, not that one, because there's nobody on the show that sounds like that. But had there been, yes, you would have heard that. I only had a couple others.
Night of the Living Dead, Deadpool number 2, left off on a cliffhanger there, where he is about ready to battle some people that are going to destroy this nice little farm town that has not been affected yet. Actually, do have to mention in this, which was great, was when they're talking about where they're going to go and looking for a place to stay to try to get out of this zombie apocalypse. When they go past a city, let's just say it was Atlanta, or a mall, you know, or a farm, or in the backwoods, or a park. All these different zombie movie, you know, references of where people took a refuge. So that was kind of cool in it. I liked it.
I got Uncanny X-Force number 17 and East West number 9. Also worthy of a shout out.
Damien Son of Batman ended the 4th of 4, but I almost think they could turn it into a series, a future Elseworlds type.
What happened to Sabrina the Teenage Witch and her talking cat?
Oh, Talking Alfred's still in there, which that's another, like, they didn't explain that at all. They did wrap up of what kind of was going on, of this fake Joker, and big reveal is real Joker's there. Crime is just 10 times worse, more violent. He's still trying not to be a killer Batman, but overall, I feel like it's a cross between Punisher and Batman, to say the violence.
Was that Adam or Andy Kubert that did that one?
Andy.
Andy? Okay.
Yep. And then, gotta say it, my Uncle Grant is a fucking whore and sleeping around with everyone in Black Science, but...
Yep.
Already knew that.
Yep. Yeah, he's a Flanderer. So.
What? A Flanderer?
Flanders? Hey-ho there, neighbor. Yeah. All right, well, I think that's going to do it for us. Make sure you guys go check us out at drunkoncomics.com. Check us out on the Twitters. Check us out on Facebook. And we just started an Instagram.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not quite fully sure how to use it yet, but I'm learning. So, yeah, just started it. Posted our first picture last night. Little bar art on the cocktail napkin by a good friend Jim Toe, which, by the way, keep your ears peeled because Tuesday or Wednesday this week, we'll be posting up a little special something or other with him regarding the release of his book. So that pretty much does it.
All right. Well, listeners, keep reading your comics, and we'll be back to you next week to talk about them then.